good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss national and local Native issues and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And we want to remind everybody that this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves. Howling for Wolves is going to be having a special outdoor fundraiser with artist, singer-songwriter Jen Hewitt. She's a Native songwriter, and she will be playing October 24th, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Downtown Park Pavilion in Hopkins, Minnesota.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. I'm going to try and make it out there. Also, I just want to give a quick shout-out. Today is Dr. Stately Day. Wendy's still in New York, and she might be chiming in here, and she doesn't want to come on, but we'll make her come on. And I'm here with Lewis Eagle Thunder and Ogama. And Ogama has the news, and we start out the show with the news every day. So let's, without any further ado, and again, I love speaking French. Let's go to Ogama with the news.
Hey, Anim Bujou, everybody. It's Ogama Ganuikwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. Also, my dog Naya says hello. You can hear her in the background.
She's from Red Lake, too?
You know, she's not, as so far as I'm aware, but she's got an attitude like she could be, that's for sure. So I just wanted to make sure everybody remembers that water is life, and we're in this post Indigenous Peoples Day week. Indigenous Peoples Day was exactly 1 month ago. And always I like to start with a little bit of Stop Line 3 news because we all know water is life. So Enbridge Energy has failed to meet the October 15th deadline for cleaning up the site of the aquifer near Clear Brook, Minnesota, where they damaged during construction. So in January of 2021, Enbridge dug too deeply into the ground and pierced an artesian aquifer. And according to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, they have now missed that deadline to clean up that site. Meanwhile, DNR is also investigating two other sites where the company may have caused additional groundwater damage. And the DNR did not identify the locations of the other sites. State regulators are going to require compensation for the loss of groundwater during the additional time it takes to stop groundwater flow, and Enbridge will apparently be held accountable for any other violations. But, I mean, 24 million gallons of groundwater in a drought in a rare and delicate wetland area called a calcareous fen as well. I mean, those are things that we can't really put a price tag on here in Minnesota. Apparently, according to Enbridge's statement, they are claiming to be fully cooperating with the Minnesota DNR to correct the uncontrolled groundwater flows at Clear Brook, as well as letting them look at the other two locations that are being evaluated. But Winona LaDuke, as we all know, who's the head of Honor the Earth, called the company's failure to meet the deadline alarming in the Star Tribune. And if Enbridge can't, Winona LaDuke said, if Enbridge can't make basic safety requirements, they should not be allowed to operate a pipeline. And it's a deep concern that they cannot fix a problem they made and does not bode well for the future. And I would have to agree. Enbridge is claiming that oil has started flowing through the pipeline as of October 1st. However, there is news on the ground indicating that that may or may not be true, whether or not the actual Line 3 is fully operational as of October 1st, because Enbridge still has to decommission the old route for Line 3. In other news, I wanted to let everybody know about a wrap-up for the number of arrests for the People versus Fossil Fuels event in Washington, D.C. So there was over 530 arrests in the climate protest in Washington, D.C. that went from Monday through Friday last week. They're calling the movements on democracy now indigenous-led civil disobedience actions. And indigenous leaders have raised serious demands, including the abolition of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, whose offices they occupied on Thursday for the first time since the 1970s. And the protest came just weeks before the start of the UN Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland, which President Biden and senior cabinet members are expected to attend. There's a lot of people who have come to these events from all over the United States, from all over Turtle Island, too, when we start talking about Alaska, British Columbia, South America. Americans, or the continent of the country that we now know as the Americas, has a really bad history with all indigenous people. So indigenous people from all over this part of Turtle Island have been fighting many, many different types of environmental problems and companies for years, Robert. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of that as well.
You know, I was talking, Ogma, and by the way, everybody, this is news you don't hear anywhere else in Pinigigi to Ogma, which means thank you, in Ho-Chunk, the sacred voice. The big battle now is going to be water, and we're seeing that right now with people from all over these major companies wanting to steal water from Lake Superior and all the other lakes. So this is going to be the big battle, Ogma.
Right, and water is now officially being traded on the stock market in the U.S. as well, which is also dangerous. So when we're talking about, you know, we've talked about how many wars have been fought over oil, over these not what's called non-renewable resources. And for all these years, we've been fighting over this oil without really realizing that water is also a non-renewable resource. And I don't know if you remember that from your science class, but human beings have no way to replicate water. We have other ways to replicate energy sources. We do not need to use oil, but we cannot replicate water. And it's incredibly important. And I think humanity is at a point now where they're realizing how terrifying it's going to be when there is no more clean water. And that day is coming quickly if we don't change our ways.
Right. And thank goodness we have relatives like Winona LaDuke and all these people have been working hard on this for many, many years to keep us informed and also lead the battle in this. It's a spiritual war. It really is, you guys.
Yes. Speaking of spiritual wars, I do have some news here from last week out of the what is now presently known as Norway. The Sami people are asking for a sacred drum returned back to them permanently, and they've asked the Danish queen for help. Apparently, the drum was confiscated by Denmark after a witchcraft trial in 1691. The drum belonged to a Sami holy person, and according to the court records, it was confiscated and became a part of the Danish royal family's art collection before being transferred to the Denmark National Museum in 1849. And since 1979, the drum has been on loan from the Danes to the Sami Museum in Norway, but the loan agreement is set to expire on the 1st of December, and then the drum is expected to be returned back to Denmark, but the Sami people are asking for it back permanently and have asked the queen for help like that. This story is so frustrating for me because it just seems like why wouldn't the right thing to do with to just be to give the Sami people and their museum the drum, right? Like, am I the only one that thinks that that would just make sense? But the fact that they have to go to the queen to fight over a culturally significant ceremonial sacred object to their people, it's just baffling to me.
And I think maybe what I'll do next segment before we talk to Dr. Stately is throw that over to Lewis to give us a quick rundown on all this appropriation that's happened to us for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. If you don't mind, Lewis, we'll check you out in the beginning of the next segment. Up next, we got Dr. Stately. We're going to talk about updates of Indian health and health all around Turtle Island, and also what's happening with COVID. He's our go-to person. And what's exciting is that he's changed a lot of people's minds that we've run into just in the community to be getting their shot. So his segment's working, our show's working, and again, Ogma Pinigigi for the news. Up next, Dr. Stately. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The new Line 3 tar sands crude oil pipeline threatens our water and climate.
It's the end of the tar sands party, and Enbridge wants to sell some oil. Tar sands is the dirtiest oil in the world, so they really put our Great Lakes water in peril. The environmental permitting for this process is a joke. The line was shoved down our throats, and that's wrong. And we're still fighting it, and it's brutal. They should do an environmental impact statement on this project.
Visit stopline3.org to take action.
What we want is a just transition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Get involved at mn350.org.
Perfect. Good job. Hey, we got Dr. Stately coming up here in a moment, but I wanted to – oh, there he is. And I wanted to just touch base with Lewis just to give us our people just a quick rundown on that story Olgama just talked about.
So we're talking about the water, right? The water.
Well, rights, I was going to say the return of sacred items that people have in museums.
Oh yeah, it's really interesting because I talked to John Torres. John Torres is an archaeologist, Mesoamerican archaeologist. He's also Dene. You can follow him on TikTok at Navajo Rocks as well. I recently talked to him about a lot of these artifacts that. Salt, not only in the Southwest, but all across the country, they have these, we're talking not only just the Smithsonian, but local institutions that take and have harvested, sacred items from indigenous people. This goes back to even DNA testing. I remember back in Montana, in the Southwest there, he was talking a little bit about how some of those indigenous communities have rituals when it comes to our deceased. And our remains, and a lot of these archaeologists that are non-indigenous, and all these scientists want to take DNA samples and want to basically do forensics on a lot of the stuff. And what this reminds you of is that people in Minnesota, I want you to make something really clear. The Mayo Clinic, the success of the Mayo Clinic was founded on the mutilation of indigenous bodies. And what I mean by that is that after the Dakota 38+2, those bodies were sent to the Mayo Clinic unbeknownst to the family members, unbeknownst to the families, and were operated on and were examined, ruthlessly. And those remains were yet to be found. But a lot of the Mayo Clinic success is due to those indigenous bodies. And again, we're talking about repatriation of our rights, repatriation of our sovereignty. And part of that is dignity, is simple dignity. And when you have, institutions like the Mayo Clinic, who has yet to actually talk about this, yet to actually, think about what they've done to indigenous people for their success, it goes on. This is the battle that we fight in 2021.
Wow, Pini Gigi Lewis for that update and that that really cool off-the-cuff editorial that I asked you to do. I really appreciate that. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately now, and Dr. Stately is the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic. Welcome, Dr. Stately. It seems like I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I don't know. I guess I have. But welcome to the show, and I like that T-shirt.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, it's been, well, it's been 2 weeks because you were in D.C. last week, remember?
Yeah.
Fighting the good fight.
Yeah, giving it a shot, right? Hey, one thing I wanted to mention to you, I was at what was called a mini powwow Friday and at the Indian Center, and I went there, and it was like a full-blown powwow with a lot of people, and I want to report back to you, everybody was wearing a mask. It was beautiful.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was totally awesome.
That's awesome. Wow, I wish I'd known they were having a mini or a large powwow. I would have gone, but I didn't. I mean, I was working that day too, so that's awesome. That's very cool.
It was from 6 to 8, and I guess it didn't start until 6:30 because Indian time, and it went a little longer than 8. And so I got to see a lot of former students. It was like, you know, it was good medicine. It really was.
That's nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Powwows and ceremonies and anytime you can be gathered together and sharing social time and social space with loved ones and friends and community, it's always a good thing to do. So I think it's a great opportunity.
And I was just super proud of everyone wearing their mask. I really was happily surprised.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good news.
So
it's definitely a time to be doing it, right? So
right.
We have lots of evidence about breakthrough cases. One that's a big, huge national story, right? Those things are real. And even with vaccinations, there's still the rare breakthrough case in which people can get very ill and succumb if they have underlying conditions. So
there was a friend of mine. There was a friend of mine who had was slow on the roll, but I think she listened to you and got her shot. But shortly thereafter, she got COVID with one shot, and I think thank goodness she had one shot because she was out for a day, and then she just gradually got better and better and better each day. But wow, I mean, wow! Get the second and third shot, right?
Get the second, you get the full series. So for most people, it's two. Certain people need three doses right now. I think there's discussion about, the FDA approving boosters at some point in time, probably down the line here in a couple of months. And we're probably right around the corner from having children 5 and above, having those vaccines ready, probably first or second week of November.
Did you have something, Lewis?
Yeah, I was just going to say, elephant in the room here, right, Dr. Colin Powell, that became a huge story. And I know
that was...
me and my family had a huge talk about it as well. And, we are going back and forth to the reservation and, around a lot of other people. And it's always, you're always worried about that, and I know it's, a rare case, but it's definitely, I think, shaking a lot of people up that says, hey, I did the right thing, but I'm still at risk. And, this could fuel speculation, of course, for those that don't want to get the shot and say, hey, the shot doesn't matter anyway, because Colin Powell died, right? So we got that dimension with it too. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, we do know that with the Delta variant, that there are breakthrough cases, there's evidence of breakthrough cases, even after you have a vaccine, which we know of. It's very rare for a person who is fully vaccinated to actually get sick and ill enough to die. Like that was a pretty, that's what we would call an outlier, right? Outlier of a case. I think that the biggest challenge for him is probably, we're still learning more about this story, but the biggest challenge for him was he had multiple serious health conditions. He had significant underlying health conditions, and he was 84 years old, right? And so he likely just got a very severe caught the Delta variant, and the underlying conditions, who knows if you know, he had been successful in getting a booster, right? We talked a couple weeks ago about how, you know, folks were saying, you know, you need to get a booster if you have a poor immune response, or you need additional support because you have underlying health conditions. Some of the underlying health conditions he had made his immune system less capable of fighting off a virus that's that virulent, that strain specifically. But I woke up this morning, I made some coffee, you know, fed the animals, turned on the news, and just as soon as I turned on the news, it was there. And I was blown away. I was like, wow, this is a man who most of my young adult life figured prominently. And, you know, he was the first Black American to ever hold offices that he held, you know,
Secretary of State.
Just amazing, amazing young man with an amazing decorated career, loved by both sides of the aisle. Really,
yeah.
did some amazing work over his lifetime, and so devastating and such a travesty that he succumbed to COVID-19.
Yeah,
you know, he was something that we can prevent, you know.
Right, sad. And he was one of the last really moderate Republicans too. You know, like you said, everybody listened to him, Dr. Stately.
Yeah, and I think my understanding is that his wife also got ill, got the Delta variant. She had a breakthrough case as well, right? She's also elderly, but you know, she didn't have a lot of the health conditions that he had, and she's fine. So it was so incredibly sad. Just a really sad story. Oh my God, heartbreaker. My prayers go out to his family and for him on his journey home. So.
Do you see what James put on the board here? Is that true?
Yeah. So he had severe. I think he also had Alzheimer's, or no, not Alzheimer's. He had Parkinson's, maybe.
Yeah. Oh wow, yeah. Maybe you can read that because people are listening to us on the radio.
Yes, <it's> Colin Powell was severely immunocompromised from multiple myeloma.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
And it's a developing story. You know, we're going to learn more over the next few days. So.
Right. Well, we got a minute and 20. We're going to keep you on like three segments, and we're going to have you do Wendy's segment too because she's not on. So we're going to give you some time to look up some sacred animal post, Dr. Stately. And
I have a sacred animal on the floor right now.
Yeah, that's right.
My little wolf dog.
Yeah, oh, what a cutie. So why don't we take a quick break and get back to you. And absolutely. Talk to Dr. Stately, who is the CEO at the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Dr. Stately. We'll be back with Ogama, Lewis, and the sacred dog. I have two sacred dogs here that are just have to be with me every second now that Wendy's not here. Wendy, come home. we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, and I'd like to tell you why you should choose us for all your printing needs. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason why you should choose us. We share your values. We believe our employees are a vital part of our success. At Minuteman Press Uptown, I set out to create jobs with a living wage and benefits. I believe in second chances for people who've made mistakes in the past. We're a proud union shop and would love to earn your business.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown are AM 950's go-to for all printing and promotional needs. I was blown away by the knowledge and passion Minuteman Press Uptown had to help me grow my business. Even if you're not sure where to start, their graphic design team can create an effective campaign and strategy to increase your visibility. So choose a print shop who shares your values. They work with businesses, nonprofits, and political campaigns. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of The Bradcast. We'll expose all the latest schemes, frauds, and more weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we never add fillers or basting solutions, just 100% pure turkey. And we're proud to remain an independent family farm. Looking for an extra special addition to this year's Thanksgiving feast? Our fresh, never frozen turkeys remove the hassle of thawing and can be picked up just days before your celebration. Available at natural food stores across the region. Reserve your fresh, free-range Thanksgiving turkey for pickup at our store right on our farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our retail partners. For more information on finding our Ferndale Market Thanksgiving turkey near you, visit us at ferndalemarket.com. That's ferndalemarket.com. Thank you for your support of local foods and farmers. We'll hope to see you at Ferndale Market soon. ferndalemarket.com.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Next Chapter Booksellers has some big new book releases coming out this fall. Works from Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bruce Springsteen, and Paul McCartney are being released in October. And you can find them all at Next Chapter Booksellers off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul. The store is open for in-person browsing, but if you're not comfortable shopping in person yet, Next Chapter Booksellers still provides free shipping for orders over $50. More at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 52, Tuesday sunny with a high near 71, and Wednesday rain with a high around 56. Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive Chinese menus in the Twin Cities, and they have takeout available too. Learn more about the Great Wall Restaurant at eatlocalminnesota.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are a Lucid Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, I'm here with Dr. Stately, CEO at the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. Just checking in with the news and checking in how things are going. Dr. Stately, welcome as always. I just feel a little blue, but the weather's been really good. And I guess I miss Wendy, but...
That makes sense. Where is she at? When does she come home?
Well, we're not too sure because she's taking care of business, but she's in New York right now with her family and doing some interior work on a place we have out there. So,
oh, nice.
It's sacred out there too. So, but yeah, she's doing things, and she's been retired for a year, and it's great that she's able to enjoy her retirement. And I support that 100%.
Nice. She's visiting family and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's not uncommon when the seasons turn to, like, you know, as it is, for people to start to begin to feel a little under the weather and then a little blue. Like our days are shorter, right? So it's starting to get dark right now. It's 6:35. You know, we're all pretty springy and happy when it was light out until 9:30 or so. But yeah, the weather's getting changing, and that does affect people. And in the middle of the winter, it really affects people, right? When you can go days without seeing sunlight. So, yeah.
So do you have a lot of people that you know suffer that, or come into the clinic and seasonal?
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, I know people personally who do, in my own social network, and also in my family. They suffer from depression, mild forms of depression, seasonal affective disorder, and I have several family members who have major depressive disorder. It's not uncommon. And, you know, I think these last 19 months of the pandemic have made, you know, anyone who has an affective disorder, so something that's an emotional disorder, whether it's anxiety or depression or, the isolation that we've experienced over the last 18 months, the cumulative loss that we've experienced in our community and in our families, not just people who die, but people, you know, lost relationships, not being able to be in the same space with one another, not being able to share time with one another, holidays, other sacred times that we would normally spend with families, things that rejuvenate our spirit and give us a lot of support emotionally. That's been a trying time. So it's not surprising that we've had more people sort of reporting, you know, oh, hey, there's a sacred animal right there.
wrong segment. That's the next segment.
Yeah, that's Mr. Kitty Boy. He rules the roost. It's not uncommon for us to have those things. We actually, in the Native community, have very high rates of depression, anxiety, trauma response conditions like PTSD and those kinds of things. Those things probably got worse over the last 19 months for lots of reasons, right? Not just because of the impact of COVID specifically in our lives, but also specifically on the healthcare system, the ability to go in and get see your therapist or access healthcare, which was significantly impacted by just the strain of COVID on the health system. Right?
Yeah,
we're not out of the woods there, by the way. So
we're back at that, aren't we? I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, on Fridays, the cover of Fridays, in the New York Times on Friday, they were mentioning Minnesota's hospitals and how close we are to reaching capacity, I think. And I heard the news on Friday evening, which has probably not significantly changed from Friday to today. But we were at like less than 1% capacity in our ICUs.
Wow.
So that's scary and that's dangerous. Right?
Very dangerous.
Not just the people that have COVID, but like if you have some other condition that requires you to be admitted to an ICU and all those beds are taken up in your area, you're going to have some challenges. It could be the difference between life and death. So.
Well, and I'm sure we've lost a lot of people since COVID's hit because of the hospitals being full and not being able to come in and, you know, do my regular yearly exam or maybe not going to the doctor's office because of COVID. You want to mask up. I think we've got lingering things coming up too from the last year or year and a half.
Yeah, for sure. Like lots of people were not able to leave their homes and come into the clinic and get their sort of like everyday chronic care, chronic health care conditions our chronic health conditions taken care of, see a provider that they normally would regularly see. They might have skipped like all the cancer screenings and all these other kinds of things that they normally would do every annually or every 6 months or whatever. They might have skipped those for the last year, year and a half, and that's going to have some impact at some point in time, right? So, hopefully things shift and change very rapidly here soon and improve.
So your youngsters, are they playing sports? They're going to school. How are they doing?
They're doing okay. They're like everybody else. I think they have a lot of COVID fatigue. My sons, they go to school and they talk about like how, lots of people in the school don't wear masks. They're not required to wear masks. They're encouraged to wear masks, but they're not required to mask. And, I have ongoing discussions and arguments with them about masking up, right? They both have gotten sick over the last couple of weeks at different times, but tested negative, thank gosh. And, there's probably also... we'll see this fall and this winter, we'll see a resurgence of your everyday sort of common flu, right? Mm-hmm. Which didn't have a lot of big footprint either in the state or nationally, the flu, mostly because people were masking up. I think one of the things we're going to see is that like without the masking and the precautions that we took last year, we'll see higher rates of flu. And of course, flu for certain people, a lot of the same people that coronavirus makes fairly vulnerable, is also going to be vulnerable. Those are probably two conditions you would not want to have together.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was very weird for that period of time not getting sick because I didn't leave the house. Very weird. And then I know Wendy got really sick when it opened up a little bit and we got out, and it's like, oh no, do you have COVID or, but it's just mm-hmm. partially just running around and catching colds that were out there waiting for us as we were hiding in the house with COVID
around. Yeah. Us. Yeah. And what we did at home, at our home, is not everybody, not a lot of our listeners probably can't do what I was able to do, but I bought, four test kits, home test kits for those situations where, I don't know if they are sick or not. They're having some symptoms and I just kind of want to reassure myself. I was able to buy those kits. They weren't inexpensive. Four of them were $75, but I used my HSA and my health savings account to purchase them. But there's also some other things like a good source just for your listeners is to go to, if you live in Minnesota, you can go to the MDH website and look up at-home testing. And there's some services that will mail you oral test kits and those kinds of things that usually your health insurance will cover and Medicaid covers those as well. So.
Yeah, I have a question too, because this came up in my other job, that they threw out the rapid test kits at our medical facilities in Wisconsin, and because they were inaccurate, they were saying positives, they were given positives, and is that what are the difference between the tests?
The rapid test has a higher rate of false negatives. Not false positives. So if you test positive with a rapid, they'll still send it out for PCR confirmation most of the time if they take enough material for it. But the problem with it is that it has a higher rate of not detecting than detecting. So if you test positive, you're more like,
Are those the ones that are rapid tests that you take home that you find out right now, kind of like, a pregnancy test, that quick test? Is that what we're talking about, or is there different
yeah.
levels of testing, right?
The ones I have are the Q-tips. You still got to swab. They have all kinds of them now. They have the ones where you spit in them and mail it off. That one actually is also at-home tests. The state or contractors or testing contractors for the state will mail those to your home. You can do the spit test and then mail it back, and you'll get your result within the 24 to 48 hours.
Wow.
But I think the biggest challenge with rapid testing is that, you know, it is often being used, I think, for people if they want to fly that day, those kinds of things. You got to, like, something where an emergent issue is where they have to sort of kind of be out and about. I still think the better test is the PCR testing. It has a high sensitivity to testing for positive cases and accurately typing them. And it's a much better test if you can get it. If you have the time and the availability to do that, then go to the doctor, wait 24 hours to get your test result.
Right. And because, like I was saying earlier, these symptoms are very sneaky. Is it you're just getting out of the house because you're, like me, not you were hiding because of COVID, or is this really COVID, and are you really having a flu and things like that? But Dr. Stanley, do you got time to howl with us the next segment? Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'll be right back, and we'll all be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The new Line 3 tar sands crude oil pipeline threatens our water and climate.
It's the end of the tar sands party, and Enbridge wants to sell some oil. Tar sands is the dirtiest oil in the world, so they really put our Great Lakes water in peril. The environmental permitting for this process is a joke. The line was shoved down our throats, and that's wrong. And we're still fighting it, and it's brutal. They should do an environmental impact statement on this project.
Visit stopline3.org to take action.
What we want is a just transition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
Howling for Wolves invites you to their annual outdoor fundraiser with singer-songwriter Jen Hewitt. Jen Hewitt is an accomplished Native American songwriter who captures the wolf spirit. She will lead in song and story, and as well as a sing-along. You can visit howlingforwolves.org/events to help wolves and for complete event information. This event will be October 24th, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Downtown Park Pavilion if you want to see Jen Hewitt and also support our wolves. Also, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh. Wow. That's awesome. What a beautiful dog. All right.
Thank you.
Cool.
This is Kenyaku.
Hey. Right on. So we kept you over your time that we allow you and you allow us to be in your presence in your house. Do you have anything last to say before we let you go here? You know, it's still confusing about the tests. And thank goodness we have them. And if you feel sick, I guess what is your suggestion on that? And
I would say one of the things I would remind everybody is that, you know, now that we're out and about and we're sort of kind of back to school and we're in social spaces, we're going to powwows, we're on the bus, we're on airplanes, you know, going back to Starbucks for that, you know, that pumpkin spice for which, you know, it's pumpkin spice season, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not. It goes all the way till January. The bane of my existence. I can't stand it, but I know a lot of people love it. But now that we're in that space and we're sort of in high circulation, the coronavirus we know is, across the nation, across many of our communities, high circulation, community circulation of the COVID-19 Delta variant, and which is very virulent. So it's easy to get, much more easier than sort of like your garden variety coronavirus from, 19 months ago. The other thing that we should remember is that, because we're doing that and lots of people are not masking up, which is not highly suggested, you're going to get your garden variety colds. You're going to get the flu. You're going to get other kinds of conditions that are airborne and normally you wouldn't have gotten, which we didn't see the year before. So you might get a tickle in your throat. You might get a little bit of a cough. You might feel a little bit of a headache, maybe a slight fever. Those are symptoms that are signs and symptoms of potentially having COVID. So I would suggest people just sort of use some common sense and, track your symptoms, try and do your best to sort of mitigate and not be around people, and certainly wear a mask if you start to have some symptoms, right? That'll prevent you from actually transmitting anything. And then, get tested as quickly as you can. And, the best test is the test you can get, right? It's kind of like the best vaccine that you can have is the one that you can have access to and can actually get. So same condition there. And one of the things I wanted to correct this mythology, I keep hearing it, and so I just kind of like want to make sure that we are clear about this. Native American communities, by and large, at the very beginning of the vaccine sort of rollout, did an amazing job at getting our communities vaccinated very rapidly when, it was primarily elders and so forth. We have since, across the board, not just in Native communities, but in lots of communities, we have since that point in time had a much less success in getting the majority of our people over the 50% line vaccinated. That's something we must change, and we have to change because my cat keeps putting his head over the screen here. Go. We have to change that because our children are so vulnerable. We are our population. We are a population of very young people, right? And they are very, very vulnerable. They don't have a vaccine. And I want to remind you when you said earlier that you had a friend who got one shot, right? Yeah. It was a two-shot series. After she got the first shot, she caught the virus. And it wasn't as serious for her, but she still got sick, right?
Right.
And I think that one of the things we just want to encourage people to do is look at the state of Minnesota. We have about 75% of the state is vaccinated, but that's only a one shot. Only 75% of the population have had one shot.
Wow.
Less than 50% have had both shots. So we have to do better.
Wow, we do. Well, I appreciate you stopping in and all you do for our community and really all the great information that you've given us for this last 9 months that we've been on every day. This has just been awesome. I really appreciate you stopping in.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. It's always nice hanging out with you guys.
All right, cool. Thank you, Peenagigi, Dr. Stately. So, Lewis, what are your thoughts here before we end the show here? We got about 3 minutes.
I think the thing is what Dr. Stately is mentioning is that we still have to be precautious about not only COVID-19, but we just can't live in fear also, right? And I think that's the stigma, especially when we hear about things like COVID-19 and taking someone that's fully vaccinated. We have to really kind of look at statistical odds of stuff like that happening and say, taking the vaccine is a net positive, not only for your indigenous community, your non-indigenous community, but for your family as well, especially us indigenous people. My family was over in Pine Ridge and in Rosebud this weekend. And I got to tell you, you know, it's we're a small community and we rely on each other. And we all know each other in that way. And when one of us gets sick or one of us, you know, passes away, it affects your entire community, especially with our elders. Each time an elder dies in our community, we say a whole library is burnt to the ground because that's what they take with them is all that knowledge. And that's why we have to be cognizant of not only protecting ourselves, but protecting our sacred relatives, the ones that can pass on those knowledge and keep our culture alive. Culture is language, it's sovereignty, it's all those things, but more importantly, it's family.
Wow. I wish we could just end, drop the mic right there and end the show. That was beautiful. And I agree. It is. And it's, I don't know if it's just because I'm more aware, but there seems to be a lot of people passing, a lot of elders, but just a lot of people recently have been passing, and it's been surprising. The deaths have been surprising, Lewis.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of these things that we've never seen anything like this. And I always think back to being a child and being my son, he's 12, right? I remember being outside and playing flag football, Robert, you know, and pretending I'm Tommy Kramer and Wade Wilson, all these guys, you know, now, you know, you can't, they're sitting in their house playing Fortnite because, you know, we can't risk them being around friends, especially with this Delta variant going around. So life's changed. And I think for us as parents, and for your parents out there listening, you know, love your kids a little bit more, give them a hug a little bit more and maybe do a little bit more extra for them, especially going into this pandemic, because mental health for our kids is everything. And a lot of times they don't know how to say that. Maybe they got worried. Maybe they're scared. Maybe they're just tired of being in the house and they can't communicate that effectively. That's why it's always good to have that extra time with them, that extra talk, because you never know when someone's feeling down or feeling, you know, really bad about everything that's happening right now in 2021.
Well, you really don't, do you? You really don't. I mean, I'm feeling a little blue right now, and Dr. Stately talked about a little bit about the change in the season and the shortening of the day, for sure. I'm in the home studio here, and it's pitch dark looking outside, and I'm used to looking at birds and things. But, you know, I appreciate you all. I appreciate Dr. Stately for all the great information that he has. Ogama Pinigigi for the news, as always. And, you know, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Croups, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office, and also mask up. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents again. Thank you, Dr. Stately, for stopping in with your great knowledge. And thank you, Ogama, for the news. And Lewis, for everything you do, you are all so important to me and important to the community. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.